Everyone, good morning. Once again, welcome to Toronto City Church, our online worship experience. As always, I'm so thankful and so honored that you've chosen to join us and we can go further, move forward, push into all God has for us today. Today is the first Sunday of the month. And so as you guys know, there's two things that almost always happen on the first Sunday of the month. Number one, we are going to be taking communion together. So I'd encourage you, wherever you are right now, if you want to take a moment, go and grab those communion elements. Make sure that you're ready because at the end of the message, we are going to take communion and we are going to pray together. So it's Communion Sunday, but also it is Healing School Sunday. And so on the first Sunday of every month, we really center and focus our message around healing, the supernatural, God's will for us in these areas. And as a church family, we are leaning in, we're praying in, we're growing together and saying, Lord, we want to grow in healing and we want to grow in the supernatural. You know, I am more convinced than ever, guys. I am more convinced than ever that this is not an optional thing. But in the days that we are in and the days that we are coming into, it is absolutely vital that we walk in the power of God. It is absolutely vital that we do not just have words, but there is a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And so it's so key, it's so important. And so every month, and not just on these Sundays, I mean, I want us leaning into this on a regular basis, but this is just one of the things we want to do. So every month, we are just leaning in a little bit more. Every month, we are pushing in together. You know, in January's Healing School, because last month was a little different. Last month, we had focused more around the first fruits offering and talking about the supernatural in our giving, which was great. And you guys were amazing even in how much you sowed and how much you gave into that. But if you remember in January's Healing School, I had talked about the call to lean in together, to not just talk about God's power, but to walk in God's power. And so I want to continue on that because we talked about here's the reasons why. The reasons why this matters so much. The reasons that this is so important. Normally, we talked about the needs of the world around us. There is so much need in the world around us for the healing power of God, for the demonstration of God's power. And we have the answer. We are the ones who are connected with Him. And so it's not okay for us to go, well, you know, if it happens, it happens. There is so much need in the lives of people. There's so much need in our world. Number two, because we see the need in people, right? There's a need in the world around us, and there's also the needs of individual people. They need to be able to connect to and encounter God's power. And so many people don't know how. They don't even know that it's possible. They don't even know that it exists, but that's where we come to represent Jesus. And we come to be, as you know, many people say, His hands and His feet, and we can demonstrate God to them, and we can demonstrate His power. And then the third reason was just this drawing of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is working in us. He's causing us to grow. He is constantly forming us and shaping us if we will allow Him to be more like Christ. And so there's this drawing from the Holy Spirit calling us to go deeper. There's a drawing from the Holy Spirit calling us to step up even more in walking in the power of God. And so I just, again, even in this moment, I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage us as a church family. Will we hear this call and will we say yes? Will we hear this call of the Holy Spirit that says, I want you to go even deeper in the river of my presence and go even deeper in the river of my power? I want you to go deeper in what I have for you, and I want you to go deeper into this area of my power. Will we hear that call and will we say yes? Come on, if you're with me right now, wherever you're watching this, and you're someone who's going to say yes, I want you just to say yes, Lord. I'm right here, even as I'm recording, saying yes, Lord, we want to hear this call, and we want to go deeper. And so you remember a bit, I'm tying it back, but it's still so pertinent for today's message, that I finished the message in January teaching out of Matthew 22:14. In Matthew 22:14, the context of it is Jesus is telling the parable of a king who had a great banquet. He invited many people to his banquet, but there were so many people who refused to come. And so then he said, well, fine, if you don't want to come, then we're going to go out and we're going to invite the lame and the leper and the sore. You know, he talked about all these we're going to invite, and he invited them in. So there's this whole story you can read about Matthew 22, where we really focused was on 22 verse 14, which says this, for many are called, but few are chosen. right? So many are called, but few are chosen. And I just want to say again, guys, there is a call from God to come deeper. There is a call from God. You know, this banquet that this picture of this parable gives, this banquet filled with so many good things from the king, right? And so there is this call from God to go deeper into the things of the kingdom. There's a call from God to go deeper into the things of the Spirit. There's a call from God to go deeper into healing and to go deeper into the supernatural. There's always this call, but again, I feel it prophetically in this time and in this season, Toronto City Church, God is saying to us, even in the times and the day you're in, will you answer the call? Will you come deeper? Will you answer this call and will you press in? But then the second part, it says, for few are chosen. Now, it's interesting because at first glance with this verse, it looks like it's saying, well, many are called, but then God only chooses a few who are actually going to enter in. But if you look at the context of this passage, that doesn't make sense. Because the king never called a whole ton of people, but only chose a few to answer his call. The call was for everyone, but people had a choice as to whether they were going to call or whether they were not. And so that's why I like the Passion Translation, which says it this way. It says, for many, everyone is invited to enter in. Catch that. Everyone is invited to enter in, but only a few respond in excellence. Toronto City Church, every person listening to this message, I want to encourage you again that God is putting out an invitation. He is putting out an invitation to move deeper in Him. He is putting out an invitation for us to walk in the supernatural, for us to walk in the power of God, for us to walk in healing. He is putting out this invitation to us, but we have a choice as to whether we will respond. And we have a choice as to whether we'll respond in excellence. Come on, someone where you are right now, say respond in excellence. See, we have this decision. Will we respond in excellence? See, family, there are those that just reject the invitation outright. There are those who just say, you know what? God gives us invitation to go deeper. He gives us invitation for us to move deeper into His power, to move deeper into healing. And there's those who just outright say, no, I'm not interested. I don't want to do it. But I know that's not any of us. I know that's not in our church. I don't know. Maybe there's a few people that are like that, but I haven't met any within our church family that are like that. But they actively reject the invitation. But then there are those who passively, aggressively reject the invitation. What do I mean by that? Well, passive-aggressively, I'm meaning that you never say, no, I don't want it. You never say, no, I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to enter in. You just don't, right? You never actually say the words, but you know how that old saying goes, your actions are speaking so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. And so there's many people who don't actually say, I'm not going to do it, but they just don't do it. Let's not be those people, amen? Furthermore, there are those who respond. And so there are those who say, okay, Lord, I'm hearing you. I'm going to respond. But then I want us to move from category three here into category four because it says there are those who respond in excellence. And I really want you to catch the difference here today, family. Again, we're talking about this call to go deeper into the power of God. We're talking about this call to move deeper into healing. And there are those who can respond, but then there's those who respond in excellence. And I believe, I feel the word of the Lord on this today. I believe that God is calling many of us to move from a place of, yeah, where we've been responding, but He's saying, I'm calling you to respond in excellence. In other words, I'm calling you to level up in your response. I'm calling you to level up in your spiritual disciplines. I'm calling you to level up in your tenacity and your focus. Why? Because there's a world out there that needs to know the love and power of God. Because there are people that need a touch. That even as we are emerging more and more out of this pandemic, guys, and I know we're not out of it yet, and there's still some stages in this journey, we have yet to see the devastation that this has caused in mental and emotional health, in people's finances, in families, in marriages. We are in a world more than ever where they are going to see their need for the power of God. They may not be able to articulate it that way. They may not be able to say it that way, but their heart is going to be crying out. And God is looking for a people who will respond in excellence. Come on, somebody say excellence. Right? And so my challenge today, it's real simple. Let's move from responding to responding in excellence. Now, what does it look like to respond in excellence? That's where I kind of want to center in today. So we're talking about healing. We're talking about the supernatural. You know, we're going to be praying at the end of just this experience again today. And I'm believing that if you have sickness in your body, if you have a physical need, that God is going to touch you. But even as we agree together as a church family, because I want you agreeing with me, even as, you know, because sometimes it feels a little different because you're just watching me on your phone or on your smart TV or on your laptop computer. You know, wherever you're watching this, you can be in agreement in the spirit wherever you are right now. Right? The Holy Spirit is not limited by a screen or by a distance, right? It's agreement together. And so we can be agreeing. But how do we respond in excellence? What does responding in excellence look like? Well, I want to start with the word excellence. There's many different ways we could define excellence. Obviously, it's a form of something being excellent. But here's how I've learned to define excellence. Excellence is doing the very best you can with what you have. It's different than perfection, because perfection simply means you're perfect. But God never calls us to perfection, right? I mean, if you use the word perfection as maturity, which it does in certain translations, he's calling us to that. But in being perfect and never making a mistake, he doesn't call us to never make a mistake. You know, if we're really leaning into the supernatural the way we're supposed to and the way that God's called us to, we're definitely going to make some mistakes. We're going to have some lessons to learn. Come on, let's embrace humility. None of us are going to bat 1,000% here. None of us are going to be, you know, 100 for 100. We all are going to miss it sometimes, but that's how we grow. That's how we move forward. That's how we respond in excellence. So see, excellence is doing the very best we can with what we have. So here's the question I want to ask you and I want to ask me. Are we doing the very best we can with what we have to walk in the power of God? Now, I know that's a convicting question. I mean, it kind of pauses me for a second. I'm not talking about, you know, works of the flesh. I'm not talking about getting under condemnation, but I am talking about, are we really together saying, hey, God, we are leaning in and we are doing the best we know to do with what we have? So what does responding in excellence look like? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10 says this. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Now, I love this passage. I love this verse. It's been a verse that has meant a lot to me for a number of years now, because it talks about two very important, I guess you could call elements or dynamics as we pursue the things of God. Number one, we see very clearly that the Apostle Paul's talking about the grace of God. The grace of God refers to God's riches or God's power made available to us, right? It's not a work that we do, but grace is a work that he does for us, he does in us, and he does through us. And Paul had an incredible revelation of the grace of God. He taught about it all the time. And so he's talking about the grace of God. And so even as we talk about healing in the supernatural, guys, it is not going to be something that we just kind of work up in ourselves. It is not going to be something that, well, if I just try hard enough, if I'm just disciplined enough, then it's going to happen. No, it is a work of the grace of God. It is not going to be by might. It is not going to be by my power, but it's going to be by my spirit, says the Lord. And so we know this about healing power. It's going to be the grace of God. But then it's interesting because as much as Paul talked about grace, he also talked about another important ingredient or element here. Watch what he said. He talks about the grace of God is what makes him what it is. He says the grace of God in me, but he said, on the contrary, I work harder than any of them. Now, at first glance, this could seem like a contradiction because it's Paul saying, hey, it's not me, it's the grace of God. But it's also Paul saying, I'm working harder than anybody at this. And what I believe as you dig a little deeper, it's not a contradiction, but like many biblical truths, it's like a bridge that is suspended from two sides. On one side is the grace of God, and our faith needs to not be in ourselves, but our faith needs to be in his grace. Guys, just as we are not saved by works, but we're saved by grace through faith, lest any man should boast, in the same way we are going to walk in the healing supernatural power of God, not by our works, but by grace through faith. And so we need to understand that. We need to grab a hold of that. But we also need to understand that the other truth that brings, I guess you could call this tension of truth, is that God is calling us to be diligent. God is calling us to be focused. God is calling us to be like the Apostle Paul, where we say, I'm going to work harder than anyone to grow in this. But it's not going to be my work that my faith is in. It's going to be in the grace of God. So what are some things we can do to respond in excellence? What are some things that we can do when we say, God, we want to move deeper into power. We want to move deeper into the supernatural. And so I want to today share five things really quickly that we can do. Number one, everyone say number one. Number one, if we are going to respond in excellence regarding the power of God, we need to refuse to settle for a natural life. We need to refuse to settle. We need to refuse to be okay with only seeing the natural in our lives and never seeing the supernatural. Let me read a verse to you that speaks to this. Mark 10:51. It's talking about a blind man. It's one of the elements of the passage that talks about Bartimaeus, who came to Jesus and he wanted to be healed. And so he cried out to Jesus and he was brought to Jesus. And in verse 51 it says, and Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. Now, at first glance, if you don't know the whole story and you don't have a larger context, this doesn't make a lot of sense. A blind man comes walking up to Jesus. He's been crying out to Jesus. And then Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? How about you? Bible says they're going, Jesus, the man's blind. What do you think he wants you to do for him? Like, why are you asking him? That is a redundant question. You should know this. But there was something deeper that Jesus was going after. Because, guys, we see over and over and over again in the scriptures, over and over and over again, when Jesus healed people, he said it was according to your faith. And part of faith is being bold and being specific before God with what you want. And so what Jesus was actually doing was he was getting the blind man here, he's getting Bartimaeus, and saying, listen, I want you to activate your faith. So you tell me what you want. Guys, there is something about a spirit of faith in the kingdom where we get what we believe for. If we are willing to settle for just a natural life without the supernatural, that's what we'll get. But if we are saying, no, I'm going to press in for a supernatural life. I'm going to believe for a supernatural life. I'm going to lean in along with my church family. We're going to respond in excellence. That is what we will get. We are going to get what we believe for. And we are going to get what we are not willing to live without. If we are willing to go without the power of God, if we are willing to pray for many people and not see much fruit happen, if we are willing to see lukewarm or just to see a little bit happen, if we're okay with that, that's where we'll stay. But there comes a place and a time where in our hearts we say, I'm not okay with this anymore. I am not okay with just this level of what's happening. I'm thankful for what God's done, but it is time to launch out into the deep. It is time for us to press in for the supernatural. And people who respond in excellence are people who are no longer okay with just a little bit, and they are pressing and leaning in for the more. Come on, somebody say respond in excellence. All right, what's the second thing that we need to do to respond in excellence? And again, I'm not going to touch on everything we need to do. I'm just giving you some keys today. Number two is that we will dig into the Word of God regarding healing. Right? So if we're going to respond in excellence, number one, we've got to cross that line. We say, I'm not okay with just a little bit anymore. And then number two, we need to dig into the Scriptures. We need to dig into the Word of God in a fresh and a new way. Let me read some verses to you about this. Psalm 107 verse 20 says, he sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Proverbs 4, 20 to 22 says, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them written within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Pay attention to my words. Why? Because they are life and they are healing. Matthew 8, verse 8, you remember the story of the centurion who came to Jesus and asked that his servant would be healed. And Jesus said, sure, I'll come with you. But the centurion replied, verse 8, he said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Only say the word and my servant will be healed. Romans 10:17. I'm hitting you with a lot here, but keep moving with me. So faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. What's my point in this, guys? We have seen over and over again, and there's so many other scriptures I could go to, that he sent his word and healed them. That if we pay attention to his word, it's going to be life and it's going to be healing. That like the centurion, he said, I just need your word. That's all I need and I'll be healed. That faith, which we know faith, as we've talked about in other lessons in Healing School Sunday, faith is key for walking in healing. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Who is the person? Who's the man? Who's the woman? Who's the young person who's going to get radical about the word of God regarding healing? Right? One of the ways if we want to lean in for healing, if we want to lean in for this family, get into the word regarding healing every day. Have healing scriptures that you're reading and you're confessing and you're meditating. Guys, so many of us, and I've been guilty of this ourselves, we don't spend any time in the word of God regarding healing, and then we wonder why we're not seeing healing. But see, if we're going to respond in excellence, we need to respond to the word and we need to dig into the word of God. Come on, somebody say respond in excellence. What's point number three? We've talked about refusing to settle for a natural only. Number two, we said we're going to dig into the word. Number three is we need to persevere in prayer. Now, this is something that's really close to my heart in this season. God is growing us as a praying church. God is growing us as a church that is moving forward in prayer. I'm so excited about what's happening. I mean, we just came out of another week of prayer and fasting. Thank you to everybody who joined in and participated in that. This week coming forward, we're continuing with just daily prayer calls. We have 25 different prayer meetings happening throughout the week, and we're growing them. We're going to see even more because we want to be a praying church. I want to remind you that in the early church, it was not birthed out of an evangelism meeting, out of a strategic planning meeting, out of a fundraising meeting. The early church was birthed. The church of Jesus Christ was birthed in a prayer meeting. And God is calling us back to the prayer closet. He's calling us back to the upper room. That is what he's doing in his church in these days, because it is going to be a praying church and praying Christians that are going to thrive in the times that we are entering into. But guys, here's what you're going to see. Anytime you find a supernatural culture, anytime you find a church that is moving the supernatural, anytime you see a man or a woman who's moving the supernatural, I promise you there's another ingredient you are going to find there. You are going to find the ingredient of persevering prayer. You are going to find a man or a woman who gives themselves to prayer. You are going to find a church community that gives themselves to prayer. And so if we are going to respond in excellence, if we're going to lean in, we're going to do it in the place of prayer. And so we are in the word growing. We've made a decision. We're not going to settle for anything less. And then we are constantly before the Lord, saying, Lord, help us to grow in this. Lord, help us to see more healing. Father, help us to walk this out even more. We are going to be people of persevering prayer. You know, one of the verses that's really been speaking to me recently has been from Luke chapter 18, 7 to 8. And this is the context again of the unrighteous judge. And Jesus tells a parable about a woman, a widow, who continues to go to this unrighteous judge, and he won't give her justice, but she just keeps going back and back and back, and finally he gives her justice. And then Jesus flips this and says, if an unrighteous judge will respond to persevering, you know, requests or prayer, how much more will our heavenly Father, who is righteous, respond to our call? And he says this, he says, do you not know that God, the true judge, will grant justice to all of his chosen ones who cry out to him night and day? He will pour out his spirit upon them. He will not delay to answer you and give you what you ask for. God will give swift justice to those who don't give up. So be ever praying, ever expecting, just like the widow was with the judge. Yet when the Son of Man comes back, will he find this kind of persistent faithfulness in his people? Man, guys, when I was preparing, that just lit up in my spirit. God is looking for persistent faithfulness in prayer. Will we be those people that we won't just pray a day, and if we don't see a change, we give up? Or we don't just pray a week, but if we don't see a change, we give up? Or we won't just pray a month or even a year, and we don't see much happen, we give up? No, we are going to be people of persistent faithfulness. We are going to continue to go before God day and night, night and day, crying out for the things of the Spirit, crying out for healing, crying out for the supernatural. And just as it talks about in the book of Revelation, that there are those bowls in heaven that are filled with the prayers of the saints. Every time we pray, pray. You might not feel anything. You might not sense anything. You might not believe in your heart. You might be struggling. Is anything happening? But every prayer, the bowls get a little more full. And every prayer, the bowls get a little higher. And sooner or later, those bowls are poured out. And all of a sudden, we begin to see signs, wonders, healings, and miracles in an unprecedented manner. And someone says, what happened? What did we do differently? It's not that we did anything differently in that moment. It's that we kept being persistent and faithful in prayer until we saw the breakthrough. Who's going to join me? Who's going to go there, guys? Come on. The days for Christianity light, the days for comfort Christianity are over, right? It is time for us to step into a new place of prayer and to have this heart. Why? Because there is so much power that God wants to release, but he's looking for a praying people. Come on, somebody say respond in excellence. All right, so we're responding to excellence. I need to land this plane today. I'm just getting fired up about it. So number one, we need to make sure that we are going, we got to say, I'm not going to settle for a lack of the supernatural anymore. Number two, we're digging into the word. Number three, we're persevering in prayer. Number four, we are pushing past disappointments. Right, if we're going to be people who respond in excellence, we need to be people who push past disappointments. Because I can tell you in 20 years of pastoral ministry, one of the biggest hindrances that I've seen for my life and one of the biggest hindrances I've seen for people pushing forward and responding in excellence is disappointments of things in the past that didn't go the way they wanted. Guys, here's how it works. I just tell you, I'll tell you from experience. Stage one. We get excited about healing. We get excited about the supernatural. We get fired up about what God wants to. You hear messages like this and we do it. Stage two, we start stepping out in faith. Stage two, we start saying, okay, let me pray for somebody. Okay, let me believe for my family member. Let me believe for this person. Let me pray for that person. What's stage three? Stage three, we don't see the results we thought we were going to see. Now, I'm not saying that happens all the time, but I can tell you from experience, at first, you don't necessarily see a lot. You might get a little trickle here, a little bit there. That's stage three. So then we go to stage four, and this is what is absolutely vital. How do we respond in stage four when we didn't see what we were praying for? Because what a lot of people do in stage four is they go, oh, I guess it wasn't real. Oh, I guess it's not going to work. Or even they don't say it consciously, but subconsciously in their heart, they get disappointed. They're like, I don't want to lean in for this anymore. I don't want to pray for this anymore because we prayed for so-and-so to be healed and they didn't. We prayed for this to happen for someone and it didn't happen. I believe God for this, it didn't happen. Stage four, when we don't see it, how we respond is so key. And that's why the persevering prayer is so important. Guys, don't you think if God told us over again, pray and pray and pray and don't quit, don't give up, persevere, there was a reason for that? And that was because there's some things that he's called us to walk into that you're not just going to saunter into on the first day. There's some things of the Spirit that is going to take some time. It's going to take some perseverance. It's going to take some focus. But we need to push past the disappointments and say, God, even when I face disappointments, even when there's some things I don't understand. And here's the deal, guys. It's okay to not understand. We're not God. One day we will understand all. And even if there's things, some things you don't understand, you can still stand up faith. Even if some things you don't understand, you can still believe. Why allow one failure in your life to define your heart for the supernatural for the rest of your life? It's okay to just give it to God and say, you know what, I don't understand all this right now. And sometimes God really does bring understanding. But even if you don't get it, there's still a place where it's okay to say, I'm just going to push past the disappointments and I'm going to believe God. And I'm going to press in for what he has for me. Come on, somebody say respond in excellence. And so when we're talking about responding to excellence, then I'm bringing this to a close and then we're going to take communion and we're going to pray together. Number one, we need to refuse to settle for the natural. Number two, we need to make a radical decision. And oh, I want to encourage you to dig into the Word of God for healing. Number three, we need to make this decision to persevere in prayer. Number four, we need to push past disappointments. And then last but not least, if we're going to be people who respond in excellence, we need to make a decision to minister healing, to pray for people every chance we get. Guys, this is so huge and it's so important for us to respond in excellence. We've actually got to do it. We've actually got to step out. I mean, I know this seems simple, But I can tell you from my life, and I can tell you from pastoral experience, so often we can be good at 1, 2, 3, 4. We're in the Word, we're praying for it, but then that moment comes and your coworker is there, man, I got a terrible headache. And the thought pops up in your mind, I should pray for them right now. But then that fear comes, I can't pray for them right now. What if it doesn't work? What if they think I'm crazy? What about this? Trust me, I promise you, I've had so many excuses come through my mind in the moment to disobey God. I don't even mean for them to. I don't want them to. But there's all these things that come. You know, what if it doesn't work? Well, I heard someone say it this way one. What if it does? Right? Like, it's okay to do it, but we've got to step out. You see that person on the street. If you never step out, you'll never see a miracle. And sometimes, can I call myself out? And can I maybe call all of us out? We are so bold inside the four walls of our church. We are lions in the spirit. We'll pray in the spirit. We'll declare. We'll pray. We'll prophesy. But as soon as we walk out those doors, it's like the lion turns into a little pussycat. The lion disappears, and all of a sudden, it's like as soon as we walk into church and we get in our environment, we are so bold. But when we get out there where God wants it to happen, we start chickening out. And I'm talking to me. I'm preaching to myself because there's sometimes put me on the stage, give me a mic, and I'm bold. But God's saying, Brendan, will you be just as bold on the street corner? Will you be just as bold in the store? Will you be just as bold online with that friend? Will you be just as bold at the gas station? Oh, I'm calling myself right now. I have a feeling sometime today after I'm done preaching, I'm going to have to live this word out. But will we have the boldness to step out? Will we take risks in the public place? Because guys, here's the last thought on this. The healing anointing grows and increases as we walk in faithfulness. No one starts at a high level. There's people who have a particular gift that will manifest very early in their Christian walk, but that's more of a gift of the Spirit that operates a little differently. But for the majority of us, the healing anointing grows as we practice. The healing anointing grows as we step out in faith. The healing anointing grows as we take risks. We need to make a decision if we're going to respond in excellence. God, every chance I get to pray for somebody, I'm going to take it. Every chance I get. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If the person looks at me like I'm crazy, they look at me like I'm crazy. My job is just to be faithful to you. Whatever happens, I am going to. And what would happen if we have a church together that was saying, we're not just leaning in on a Sunday morning when we're in a safe service, but we're going to lean in on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every chance we get to pray for someone, we're going to be faithful to do it. What would happen? Let me close with this verse, Matthew 13, 31 to 32. Said, he put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. See, guys, we're dreaming about the tree, but we've got to be prepared to start with the seed that God has given us. The seed is small. The seed seems insignificant. If you didn't know better, you'd look at that seed and say, what does this really mean? You ever see a mustard seed? It is so small. But if you just take that and you plant it and you water it and you give it some time and you let it grow, Jesus said, before long, it becomes a massive tree and all the birds come in that. Guys, God is calling us to have mustard seed faith regarding healing the supernatural. And that means we're willing to start small. That means we're willing to start with things that seem insignificant. That means we are not going to despise the days of small beginnings. But in the name of Jesus, wherever we're at, however we're at, no matter if it doesn't seem like anything happens, we will respond in excellence. We will be these people that say, remember, success is obedience. Success is obedience. Success is obedience. Success is not sealing the manifestation. The manifestation is the fruit of your obedience. Success is obeying Him. And my prayer, and I want to pray this right now, my prayer for myself, my prayer for each one of us today, you get ready for an impartation today. We're going to have an impartation of healing, but we're also going to have an impartation of mustard seed faith to say that it starts small, it starts little, it starts in what is seeming insignificant, but if you just stick with it, it grows into something that is incredible. And so, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. God, I thank you for every person that is watching this teaching. I thank you whether they're watching it live, whether they're watching on demand. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that each one of our hearts will be marked in a fresh way today to respond in excellence. God, that we will not settle anymore for not seeing the supernatural very often. God, we will have a determination in our heart and we will dig into the word. We will dive in and persevere in prayer. We will push past the disappointments of the past. And Lord, we will step out. Lord, as Nike said years ago, but really it's a biblical principle, we will just do it. We'll get out of our comfort zones. We'll get out of apathy. We'll get out of lukewarmness. God, we'll get out of fear. God, we'll get out of intimidation, and we will do it in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, and I speak right now. Come on, just raise your hands to receive wherever you are now. I thank you, and I speak right now in Jesus' name. Mustard seed faith, that we're not afraid of starting small, because everything in the kingdom starts small, but then gets sown into the soil and grows up massively. And we thank you for all this in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed with me said, amen, amen, amen. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a brief pause here. Get your communion ready. I'm going to be back. We're going to take communion, and then we're going to pray for healing. And I want you to agree with me. If you have a need in your body, believe God that he's going to touch you. If you don't have a need in your body, believe God he's going to touch somebody today. And so we just are going to do that right now. So I'm going to be back right in a moment with communion. All right, everyone. Well, I trust you have your elements there with you. Maybe you're in a spot where you couldn't get them. Just agree with us in the spirit, and you could even take it later. But, you know, on the same night that Jesus was betrayed, the Bible says that he took bread, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Whenever you eat this, do so in remembrance of me. So let's eat together today in remembrance of him. And let's eat together today with a heart to say, Lord, I want to respond in excellence. Amen? So let's do that. The scriptures also say he took the cup and he said, this is my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. Whenever you drink this, do so in remembrance of me. Let's drink together today in remembrance of him. Come on, let's pray. Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name, and we thank you so much today for the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much. You didn't have to, but you came to rescue us. You sent your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And so we thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you sent Jesus. I pray that we will never take Jesus for granted. And if there's any area of our life that we're taking him for granted right now, that you will convict us and that we will turn from that. And Father, I thank you that you came, you sent your Son so that we won't perish but have everlasting life. And we thank you that everlasting life, that Zoe life, does not just refer to living forever, because we're already going to live forever, but it refers to the God kind of life. And so just as we're in this place of prayer today, as we take in communion, we remember that the God kind of life, that Zoe life, includes healing. The Zoe life is that life that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of us and quickens our mortal bodies. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, we come in the authority of the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, and we speak healing in Jesus' name. Come on, wherever you're watching this right now, if you have a need of healing in your body, I just want you to place a hand there right now. If there's maybe some others with you and you're watching together, I want you just to, if someone is in need, lay hands on them right now, because the Bible says believers lay hands on the sick and they recover. But in the name of Jesus today, right now, we speak healing. We speak wholeness in Jesus' name. We speak life. We speak that the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior Jesus is flowing in you and through you right now. All sickness go. All disease go. We thank you, Father, that whatever is out of order is coming into order and alignment now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you and we declare that cancer is being healed in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that migraine headaches are going right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that knees are being healed in Jesus' name. Backs are being healed in Jesus' name. God, if someone having internal organ issues, it's being healed right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, Whatever the need is, we declare it is met, it is healed, and it is whole right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you for this, Lord. Come on, just wherever you are, just say, I believe I receive it. And we thank you, Lord. And even there may be instant manifestations, begin to check yourself out, even if you notice a difference. But we also know that the healing power of God as it enters your body can begin to operate and flow. And so whatever the timing, we believe and we stand for whole 100% healing. So Father, we thank you for this, Lord, today in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody just say, by his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, we are healed. And we thank you for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed with me said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you guys. Love you. Well, hey, everyone. We want to thank you for being with us today in our worship experience. Man, I'm just so thankful for what God is doing. And I really want us to live out this word of responding in excellence. I don't think it's just a one-time message, but it's a call to a lifestyle that God's called us to. So before you go today, as usual, I just want to remind you of a few things. Number one, obviously, as usual, we have the opportunity to bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Now, I know under the current system with online giving, most of us give at a variety of times during the week, but I still want us to take this moment, even as we're watching this, to unite our faith and to join our faith together, because God wants to do some incredible and some huge things in the financial realm this year. Again, we are living in a time where there's been a lot of shaking. There's going to continue to be shaking. There's going to be shakings going forward in the future. But when you walk with Jesus, when you are tapped into the kingdom economy, there is a reality, there's a protection. Just like the children of Israel, even when the judgments were hitting Egypt, the children of Israel in Goshen were safe and protected. And God wants us to walk in that kind of reality. But here's where it starts, guys. It starts with faithfulness in our tithes and offerings. Again, it's not like we're buying something. It's a response in faith to God for who he is and what he has already done. And so I just want to encourage you today, as we give, just stir up your faith. As you give, as you are faithful, stir up your faith and say, God, even if the world around me is shaking, my confidence is in you. And in the area of my finances, in the area of my resources, my confidence is in you. And if you haven't yet discovered the blessing of becoming a tither, bringing your first 10% to God, of being a generous giver and just sowing even above and beyond that, I want to invite you, take a step of faith and start doing it. God will never let you down. You can never outgive God. God is never going to let you down, and you're going to be part of advancing his kingdom. And so if you have more questions about how to start giving or just how things are working in the online season, please contact us. Let us know. Other than that, all the giving information is on the screen for you. Let's pray and let's agree in this together into this today. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you even for this call to respond in excellence. And God, there's so many ways that we respond to excellence, but one of the ways we respond to excellence is through our giving. One of the ways we respond to excellence is through our faithfulness with our finances. And so I pray for every person just watching, listening in today, God, as they are faithful to give, God, as they're faithful to respond in excellence, I thank you that there's so much that you have for them. Just as that picture of that king set out that table, and there was so much, but he's looking for people who would respond in excellence. May we be those who respond in excellence in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed with me said, amen.